Welcome back, listeners. On this episode, we're switching gears to talk about one of North America's most iconic and breathtaking yet very mysterious sites, Mount Shasta. A potentially active volcano located in Mount Shasta, California, it's an epicenter for outdoor enthusiasts, and it's obvious why. With beautiful lakes that surround the area, hiking trails, and waterfalls, it truly is a sight to be seen, bringing in over 26,000 people a year. There is much lore and mystery that surrounds this awe-inspiring giant. Some call it the Mountain of Many Legends. Sitting at an elevation of 14,179 feet and a volume of 85 cubic miles, it is the second highest peak in the Cascades. It's the largest stratovolcano in the Cascade Volcanic Arc. The mountains surrounding area are all part of what's called the Shasta Trinity National Forest. Mount Shasta is connected to its satellite cone, Shastina, and together they dominate the landscape. Shasta rises abruptly to tower nearly 10,000 feet above its surroundings. On a clear day, it can be seen from the floor of the Central Valley, nearly 140 miles to the south. The mountain has attracted the attention of poets, authors, and presidents. It consists of four overlapping dormant volcanic cones that have built a complex shape, including the main summit and the prominent and visibly concealed satellite cone of 12,330 feet, Shastina. If Shastina were a separate mountain, it would rank as the fourth highest peak of the Cascade Range after Mount Rainier, Rainier's Liberty Cap, and Mount Shasta itself. The oldest known human settlement in the area dates to about 7,000 years ago. At the time of Euro-American contact in the 1800s, the Native American tribes who lived within view of Mount Shasta included Shasta, Okwanachu, Mondoc, Akomawi, Astugwe, Karuk, Klamath, Wintu, and Yana tribes. There are dozens of Native American legends, myths, and stories surrounding Mount Shasta, adding to its mystery and allure. Whatever your reason for visiting Mount Shasta is, whether it be you're an outdoor enthusiast, or maybe you're just sightseeing, maybe you're there for a little spiritual growth or healing. Some go there to find out more about themselves, to figure out what their life or purpose is, and sometimes just to feel the energy of the mountain. We're going to dive into some of those mysterious Native American lore and stories, as well as some of the high strangeness that surrounds this majestic peak. Native American legends, according to the local indigenous tribes, namely the Klamath people, Mount Shasta is inhabited by the spirit Chief Skell, who descended from heaven to the mountain summit. Skell fought with the spirit of the below world, Leo, who resided at Mount Masma, by throwing hot rocks and lava, probably representing the volcanic eruptions at both mountains. Geologists consider Mount Shasta to be a very dangerous high-threat volcano. Someday it will wake up and erupt again, possibly during this century, says AncientOrigins.net. They say volcanic eruption from Mount Shasta could match or exceed the scale of the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens. The effects of an eruption on the surrounding towns close to the base of the mountain are predicted to be catastrophic, and because volcanoes stay active for years after an eruption, the region may have to be closed off to the public for a very long time. Experts state that the fuse is already burning, and it's not a matter of if Mount Shasta will erupt again, but when. Mountains themselves are considered sacred. Reading from AncientOrigins.net, throughout history, mankind has always been drawn to mountains as a sacred feature of the landscape. It is likely that mountains are among the oldest places of worship on the planet, the first temples. They figure prominently in the earliest religious myths of mankind, and our connection to them is so powerful that many of the world's oldest monuments, such as the Egyptian and Mayan pyramids, were obviously built in their semblance. Northwestern California Native American tribes traditionally view Mount Shasta as being structurally and energetically connected to a wide range of important volcanic landscapes and mountains, which extend northwards and southwards of their tribal territories. Native Americans have observed Mount Shasta as a sacred mountain from time immemorial. They viewed the mountain and its surroundings as holy ground. It is thought to be one of the first earthly places created by the Great Spirit. In the past, no one but medicine men or women climbed up the mountain beyond the tree line. It was thought to be too powerful for ordinary people to visit, and inhabited by hosts of potentially dangerous spirits and guardians who could harm a person who traveled up the mountain unprepared. Mount Shasta's significance as a power hotspot for non-indigenous people did not begin until the late 19th century. The naturalist John Muir described the mountain's peak as a religious icon and helped to spread its legendary fame. Since its discovery, it quickly became one of California's must-see tourist destinations. There are many tangible and intangible qualities which make a mountain sacred, and some of these qualities go beyond its mere appearance. Mount Shasta isn't the tallest mountain in the West, but it is the most legendary. A sacred mountain tends to possess unusual characteristics which are more than just the accumulation of natural processes, such as a quote written by Lama Argarki Govalina. There is, we feel, something different about a sacred mountain which cannot be easily explained, something that makes it exceptional. It possesses a kind of energy that is unique to itself, which can be sensed and felt as much as seen. There is, we feel, something different about a sacred mountain which cannot be easily explained, something that makes it exceptional. It possesses a kind of energy that's unique to itself, which can be sensed and felt as much as seen. It draws people to it, inexplicably, mysteriously. And mysterious it is. As stated before, those that have visited and live in the surrounding Mount Shasta area have reported strange occurrences. Occurrences ranging from extraterrestrial activity, sightings in the skies, portals appearing over the peak of the mountain, with strange crafts coming out of them and then disappearing into the side of it, as well as strange cloud formations that, yes, have been explained away, but they seem to move and shift in mysterious patterns, and strange creatures that dwell in or around the mountain itself. Not all of these reports can be explained away as active imaginations. The local residents would be the ones to believe the most since they live right by it. The Shasta Trinity National Park posted a photo of a large glowy orb right beside the picturesque backdrop of Shasta. It was very large and glowing orange. Experts say it was a lenticular cloud formation, which at first it could be, at first glance. Lenticular clouds are a fascinating weather phenomena. Though not unique to Mount Shasta, the particular conditions surrounding the mountain make it an ideal location. It could be that it's so tall that it creates its own weather formations. I do find that to be a reasonable explanation. But what I find interesting is Shasta is said to be a hotbed of UFO sightings and mythical beings. It is said to have a race of reptilians that live within the caves of the mountain as well. I know, sounds ridiculous. Or is it? It is said that there is a secret city inside the mountain, hidden away beneath the peaks called Telos. A city inhabited by a technologically advanced race of mythical beings called Lemurians, from the long-lost sunken continent of Lemuria. This belief has been incorporated into numerous cult religions. The legend of Lemuria began to grow from a mention of it in a book, A Dweller on Two Planets, written by Frederick Spencer Oliver, which claimed that survivors from a sunken continent were living in or around Mount Shasta. Scientists eventually debunked this theory, but some still believe it today. What's even harder to debunk is the statements made by a young boy that went missing on September of 2011. A 3.5-year-old boy was lost in the Mount Shasta forest. Thanks to search and rescue and all of the volunteers, he was found around 5 hours. I would say that the boy got lucky, because getting lost in Mount Shasta can be deadly. The weather can change very quickly. The family's story is as follows. When the three-year-old and his dog wandered away from his family at Fowler's campsite near McCloud Falls, the family realized he was missing and quickly made contact with authorities, which led to a desperate search and rescue. The dog was found rather quickly. In some missing person cases, that happens more often than we think. More often than not, when a person goes missing and they're with a dog, the dog will return without them, simply because canines can easily track their way home. They have the noses for it. In this case, the pup was found curled up and wet, laying next to a dangerous rapid. As the search went on, it began to get dark, and some of the SARS teams and volunteers began to worry he may have fallen into the water. But luckily, with the help of search dogs, the boy was found hiding in a bush just after midnight. The possibility of kids going missing in the forest are fairly high and can happen quicker than you think. You'll be watching them 1 second, and then 1 second later, a redirection of attention, they're gone. Whether it's the forests of Mount Shasta or a busy supermarket, it can be heart-stopping. The boy's family stated he was there 1 second, and then he was just gone. At first, they thought he'd been abducted by other campers. Luckily, this was not the case. I tend to fear real people over the paranormal or the supernatural. Although what happens afterwards might make you think otherwise. Let's fast forward 3 weeks later. The young boy was sitting at his grandmother's house when he looked over at his grandma and said, "I don't like my other grandma, Cappy." Cappy was a nickname for his grandmother because her name was Kathy. A little stumped, she asked him, "What do you mean? You know I'm the only grandma you have." The boy replied, "Remember when I was lost in the woods? Well, the other grandma grabbed me, took me to a creepy place. She knows she's really a robot." She was thinking he was telling a story, so she asked, "What was creepy about it, and why do you think she was a robot?" The boy replied, "It was a cave with spiders, and there were purses and guns everywhere. I was too scared, so I didn't touch anything. But I saw her climb up a ladder up the side of the cave. The light made her look like a robot. There were other robots too, but they didn't move. So she asked, 'What did she do with you?' Well, she made me lay down to look at my tummy. Then she tried to get me to poop on sticky paper, but I couldn't go. She told me that I am from outer space and that they put me in my mommy's tummy. And then she took me back to the river and said to wait under the bush until someone found me." The grandmother called the boy's father, concerned his ideas were something that he had seen on television. But the parents said that the boy had told them the exact same story as well. They just figured he had a big imagination. Creepiest of all, the year prior, Grandma Kathy was camping out, and she woke up face down in the dirt. She was out of her tent and her sleeping bag, and she had found a strange puncture mark on the back of her neck and began to feel violently ill. At first, she thought it was a spider bite, and it took her a long time to recover from it. Her friend that was sleeping in the camper next to her woke up with the same mark in the back of his neck as well, feeling just as miserable. They said before they fell asleep, they both could see red eyes shining through the trees. They thought at first it must have been a herd of deer, so they paid no mind to it. In her story, she states, "My friend is checking into wildlife cameras. He wants to go back up there and place them around the campground. One weird thing about this place is that there was no wildlife when they were there. Only birds. We saw two crows. They flew in, sat on a tree and watched us, and I thought they were waiting for Cheetos or something to fall into the dirt. At the time, they were creeped out by them." She said she camps a lot, so there are usually a lot of butterflies, birds, squirrels, etc. This time, the forest was dead quiet. Nothing. They said they didn't even see a bee. "My son has forbidden me to ask my grandson about the incident because you can create a false memory by repetitive reminding. So, for a year, I have not mentioned it to him, but he's 4 and a half now, and I asked him again about what happened, and he repeated the exact same story, except this time it was a dungeon instead of a cave. It would be interesting to see if he has a memory of these events when he's about 8 to 9 years old." This was at Camp McCloud, California. I don't know about you listeners, but I would never attempt to go back up to the spot I was camping before just to place cameras. If I did, I wouldn't bring children with me, and I definitely wouldn't be alone. I wouldn't take the risk. Not that the creature would want to make an appearance, but I wouldn't want to take the risk. Whatever is out there seems to not want to be found. It hides in the shadows, waiting to prey on those that are sleeping or maybe just too young to put up a fight. From all the hiking and hunting equipment the boy saw, it tells me that whatever this creature or entity is, it's been doing this for a very long time. I think the holes in the backs of their necks were a way for this being to extract some sort of DNA for cloning. Is it building an army? Probably not. But what better way to lead someone off their path if they hear or see a loved one calling out to them? Mount Shasta is a very beautiful and majestic place to go take in the scenery, enjoy nature, go for a hike, maybe take in a little bit of R&R to get away from the busy world we live in. I would strongly suggest you keep your heads on a swivel, because you'll never know what's really lurking in the shadows, what could be waiting for you to fall behind on a hike with a group, or what could be watching you from afar while you're sitting around the campfire. Thank you all for listening. Be safe out there.